attorney, advocate, author, public speaker. The Lisa Wexler Show. WICC 600. Flip that switch and turn on your brain. Here is Lisa Wexler.
I have to think out of the box in terms of health care. You know, I have 14 cats and a German Shepherd dog at home. So what I usually do if I'm sick is when I take an animal to the vet, I ask questions as if I'm asking about a pet at home. You know, I'll say, like, my dog Ramona, when she does push-ups, seems to have a pain right here.
One of the funniest ladies alive joins us now, Paula Poundstone. Paula, I'm so happy to have you back on the show. How have you been? How have you survived COVID? Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I've been good enough. I try not to aim too high in this difficult time. I survived COVID largely on the kindness of strangers, half of whose face I couldn't see. Did you have that? Where I did a volunteer job once a week for a year during that 15 months, and some of the people I worked with, it was an indoor-outdoor job. Some of the people that I worked with had I knew before, and some of them I just met during that experience. And when it got to be May, June, do you remember that little period of happiness that we had in May and June where we thought, yeah, we got this? And then it turned out, no, we didn't have this. But during that May, June period, we were vaccinated, and it was an indoor-outdoor job, so we took our masks off.
Sure, of course,
and
yeah.
I didn't recognize people.
Right.
I literally was standing right beside a woman named Jessie, and I said, so Jessie's not working today? And she said, I'm Jessie.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. And there was, because the lower, you know, when I was a kid and I would see like a, you know, a Western, and they would tie the bandanas around their faces, you know,
that's
to
right.
rob a bank or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, well, who on earth doesn't know that's James Garner? And
right.
as it turns out, no, there's a lot of missing information when you don't have
a lot
from the nose down. And by the way, when I say from the nose down, I cannot stand the nose peepers.
Oh, really?
You know,
it
the people,
bothers you, huh?
Put
yeah, the nose peepers.
The people
yeah,
who put the mask on and they leave their nose
yeah.
hanging out. Okay, when you do the test, where do they get the information from?
I know. It's true.
Right? It's so absurd.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm very lucky that, you know, I didn't have an income during the stay-at-home order. And it was not a lockdown. I hate it when people say that. I don't know about the rest of you, but my home locks from the inside.
I know what you mean.
You know, leave it to Americans to make things more dramatic than they actually were.
That is what we do. I know. But, you know, I have a family in Israel.
Were you able-
but I will tell you something. I didn't stop working. First of all, the radio show was more important than ever. So what we did was we moved my equipment to my home. I have a home studio now. For me, it was an upgrade because I get to do it in my pajamas most of the time. So I'm happy. And then the rest of my life, Paula, you know, I became a judge. I don't know if you know that. I became a judge. And so I am the probate judge of the Westport Weston District. And I didn't close court for even one day. Like, even one day. And in fact, Westport was ground zero in Connecticut because we had a super spreader party where 40 people got COVID in March. And so our town hall, our town hall where I was working, because our probate court's in our town hall, was literally the first town hall to close. We all gathered on the front steps. The first selectman said, we're going to be closing now. And I said to everyone, this is real. This was in March. I said, this is really happening. But I got my staff together and we did like cohorting, like two and two for a while. But I came in every day because how could I not? Because what we do, is when people have passed, make sure that they can, you know, help the families. And we do all the mental illness and all the conservatorships for elderly people. I mean, probate court had to be open. So we were open every day. That's my point. I didn't stop working. I worked harder than ever.
Wow. Well, I worked really hard. I just had no income.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. I was lucky because I have a podcast nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. But if
hopefully
you're looking
somebody
to make
does.
Money,
yeah.
don't. Well, it makes it hard. when nobody does. Yeah, it's a fun podcast. I think it's a good podcast. But you know, podcasting is not a pot of gold. You're not going to. I mean, yes, there are. It's very much like the gold rush. The people who sell the picks and shovels make a lot of money.
Yeah,
everybody
that's
else
right.
just
that's
holds
right.
on to their dream. So that's what I'm still in the holding on to my dream phase. But it, you know what? It's fun to do, and I feel like I feel so gratified by the people who you know write to me or you know tweet me or whatever, communicate with me, saying that. Oh my gosh, it you know, it's getting them through, you know, that kind of thing. I'm a little bit like Trump in this one way, which is, or a little bit like Vladimir Putin in this one way, which is, you know, if you flatter me, I'm yours.
Yeah, I know. So, it's true. A little flattery goes a long way. I'm with you. So, Paula Poundstone, your voice is so fabulous. It's so recognizable. And Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me didn't stop. But are you on it all the time? Because I've been listening lately, and I don't hear your familiar voice for a while. No, what happened?
No, I was never on it all the time. No, I was always, I mean, for the, I think I've been there for like 20, 21 or 22 years. I think I used to be on about once a month, which I think was pretty average for the, you know, for all the panelists. And then I think I'm on like every, you know, they wanted to expand the list of.
Well, you're missed,
panelists.
Paula. You're missed. I always thought you were
on like every other month. I think that's how often I'm on it. It's really fun to do. And
it is fun. It's fun to listen to.
Yeah.
It's fun to listen to. I love it.
It would be more fun if the others didn't cheat. But, you know.
Oh, well.
you know, the fact that I'm a bigger person. Okay. they do. They cheat because they're simply born into the world knowing more about current events than I. And that is cheating.
It's cheating. Definitely. I want to know, how's your family? How is your menagerie of people and animals living with you? Check in. Help me check in on them. How's your family
doing?
They're
all good enough. Let's see. I have 10 cats now, whereas I was making note in that little clip you played that I said I had 14. So I'm like, all right, well, that was a little while ago. Because at my peak, I had 16. But then, you know, there's attrition over time. So I was down to 8, and in the spring, I got 2 kittens, which was one of the greatest decisions I ever made. They're so entertaining. They do this thing. I got a black kitten and a tortoiseshell kitten from the same litter. And I'll be standing in a room, and the black kitten will chase the tortoiseshell kitten out of the room. They both disappear. And a few seconds later, the tortoiseshell kitten chases the black kitten into the room. I will fall for that cat joke every time.
Me too. I have it with puppies. I have it with puppies. I got a puppy. Well, I have a 3-year-old dog, and she really loves dogs. So she's the queen, but she loves other dogs. So we got a puppy that's related to her, Yofie. And it's really funny because it's almost like there's silence, and then it's a bat out of hell. And then there's silence, and then it's like the buffalo running. And they're little dogs, but it sounds like buffalo hordes in the house, and I love it. I love it so much. I do.
I had gotten a puppy just not too long before the virus, and so I spent the 15 months that I was home almost every night. I trained the dogs every night, and. You know, dogs are such creatures of habit. I do. Nothing tricky. I'm not teaching anything cute, really. I just want civility. But I got to say, dogs are creatures of habit, and I may have made a mistake because the younger dog, who's like 2 now, if I tell her to sit during the day, she looks at her watch. She, you know, we train at night, and she feels like that's the time she's supposed to do stuff. And anything that I say, you know, like before 9 o'clock at night, she's like, oh, no, another couple hours. She's not.
You know, maybe that's the explanation for my dogs, because they are very good when I have a treat in hand at night. Sit, up, down, stay, come.
Yeah.
But you're right. During the rest of the day, it's like, what's my name? What's my name? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they, and you're right. And yeah, my dog Mo, she knows exactly what I'm saying. I mean, it's quite clear that she knows what the command means. But it just ain't going to happen. I consulted with a trainer who told me, well, she's kind of like a teenager now, which explains her taking
and
the
how
car
are you
without
real
asking
teenagers?
The other night.
I was going to say, and how are you real
anymore.
Teenagers? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Everybody is. They're all young adults, which is a horrible phase. Yeah.
Why is it horrible, Paula Poundstone? Why is that a horrible thing?
You know, because you get consulted, but only when things are an emergency, right? Mm. So at a point where you or the said young adult in question could do something to avert the emergency, you don't know anything about that period of time. So you're consulted when, you know, all hell is broken loose, and then you're supposed to fix it. I don't enjoy that. You're a parent of three.
Am I remembering right? How many kids do you have? Three.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You must be the embedded reporter.
I remember our conversations. You're always so fun to talk to. We're chatting with Paula Poundstone, and I just love the way you talked about assembling your family over the years, and how you just sort of, you know, you're just a natural maternal person, and you just assembled this family, and it came to you in a lot of different ways.
Did I ever say I was naturally maternal?
You didn't say it, but it's true anyway.
I'm a terrible hostess, I can tell you that.
No. Are you? Really? You're not a good cook?
Oh, I'm a terrible I'm not a good hostess. Well, I mean, I don't cook for people, but if somebody comes over, you know, I'll get up and get myself a Diet Pepsi and not even think about the other person. And then when they're on their way out, I'll remember and I'll be like, oh, did you want anything while you were here? So what I've done is I have little to-go bags near the door so that, you know, I can send people off with something, but
like the Halloween ones, little orange fun bags that people get. That's cute.
Hey, did you know, okay, I realize this is a little bit older, but do you live in a place where you get a lot of trick-or-treaters?
No, not at all. Maybe one now. No, the kids have all grown up. I mean, it goes in cycles. We just don't have the young ones right now. No. Mm-mm. What about you?
We have a street near us that's rich people, and they have huge decorations and stuff. And it funnels off the traffic, plus my street doesn't have lights. So it funnels off the traffic from our street. And so we have for many years had, not a lot. And then there are some years where I've gone to the trouble of buying candy. One year I even went to like a store that sold old fashioned candy.
Oh, that's fun.
You know, Bonomo Turkish Taffy, you know, the old stuff, the good stuff. One year I spent like $40 on like old, you know, real candy, and I ate it all. There was more this year than usual. But I'm not quite sure why. My kids, when they were little, I don't care that much what date it is. Like, you can celebrate things on different days. So I would just send my kids over to neighbors' houses dressed up as things. It didn't have to be Halloween. I would just say, go ask for some food. And that seemed to work. Neighbors love to see my children coming in different. And actually, when my kids were little, they loved dressing up so much that, why limit it to Halloween?
I find that, you know, you said your kids are young adults, so are mine. And I find, we're chatting with Paula Poundstone, the hardest transition for me, and I think for probably all empty nesters really, is, and you're happy about it, but you're not happy about it, is you really don't have any control anymore. You just don't. And you can't even try and sweat it. You really change. You're always going to be their mother. You're never going to be their friend, but you're going to be a little bit more friend in some ways than you ever were when they were all under your roof. And the truth is, you almost have to wait to be asked for advice, because if it's offered unsolicited, who cares? Nobody cares. But if they ask you,
well, that's,
you know,
that's
what I mean?
True.
Right?
Yeah, that is true. I try to pretend that the advice isn't coming from me. Like,
ooh,
if my daughter, say, for example, my middle daughter will come over for dinner or something. And what I do is I put what appears to be a fortune in different dishes.
Ah.
So, like, you know, she'll be eating mashed potatoes, for example, and there'll be a little slip of paper in there. And it says, don't buy anything you can't afford. And she assumes, you know, that it's a fortune that just comes in the mashed potatoes. And I don't even blink. I mean, I'm like, I don't take any ownership for it. I could hop back in there. Oh, wow. That's wow. And then, you know,
so you're getting back on the road, Paula? We're chatting with Paula Pounce. You're coming back on the road?
I flew to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania from Los Angeles yesterday, and then I was driven to York, Pennsylvania, which is where I am right now. And then tonight I'll be telling my little jokes in York, Pennsylvania.
Nice. Well, I'm looking to see if you're coming into Connecticut like anytime soon. You probably are, but I can't seem to find it here. But obviously, you know, if and when you come back to Richfield Playhouse,
I know
or whatever,
that I am. I'm gonna find it because I don't have it here. I'm gonna find it. Wait, I'm clicking on website.
I want people to
website.
Be able to see you in person.
Because I'm going to my website, which is, by the way, paulapoundstone.com, and
Thank
now I'm going
you.
To the tour page because that's how you do it. There it is, New Haven, Connecticut. December 10th. It's coming up.
Ah, you're at the Schubert. Oh, that's such a beautiful theater, Paula. What a beautiful theater. I love the Schubert. Oh, you're going to have such a good time. December 10th, you're going to be here soon.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. In fact, I just saw an advent calendar. I just saw an advent calendar that was not for Christmas, but was for this New Haven, Connecticut date, which is unusual. It's very specific.
So I'm looking at this schedule.
That's right around the corner.
So you're coming from Florida to Connecticut, and then you're in Iowa City, Iowa, the following week. That's a lot of traveling.
I'm in Fort Lauderdale December 9th, New Haven, Connecticut December 10th, Long Beach, California December 11th, and then I'm home. But that's my regular schedule. That's how I do it.
You do a lot of days.
I don't believe in routing. And plus, we couldn't route if we wanted to. You know, my travel agent doesn't travel. My publicist is shy, and my agent doesn't like to talk on the phone. I get the people who work for me from the island of misfit toys. So this kind of crazy schedule that I have is really the best I'll ever do.
That's fantastic.
And I'm so happy to be back out on the road again. The last thing I could do is complain about it, honestly. Any way that I get to go talk to, a crowd of people who've come out to laugh for the night is good by me.
It is good. It's good for the rest of us, too. We need to laugh. We need to be together. And your insightful comments
about life. We need to be vaccinated and wear masks. Okay. Say that again.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You're coming to a good place for that, Paula Poundstone. Connecticut is a very welcoming, hospitable place for vaccinations and masks. You're not going to have any problem here.
I'm so glad. I just moved 3 Florida dates because apparently they are I mean, I'm doing some, but they're, but apparently they are further, not only loosening their, you know, they not only loosen their restrictions, but they make it so that if somebody wanted to, they can't, which is just
that's
absurd.
Right.
I mean, that's just vindictive. That has nothing to do with anything other than, you know, that's just, that's like Tom Joad. That's like Tom Joad's mother's concern. Did they make you mean mad? That's like.
Does anybody here know the Grapes of Wrath? Anyone? The Grapes of Wrath? Anyone? Henry Fonda? Yes, I get it.
Well, grape. Well, you're right. Do you know that that Ma in the Grapes of Wrath was, I believe I'm correct about this, in the movie The Grapes of Wrath, the woman who played Ma, I believe was also the bird woman in
Mary Poppins. Yes, Feed the Birds, Tuppence a Bag. One of the beautiful songs ever written. I love that song. Yes, she was the same person.
There's a scene in Grapes of Wrath where she regresses a little bit and feeds Tom breadcrumbs. That's how I knew.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
That's
Paula Poundstone. I'm so glad you're coming to New Haven. So you're coming a week from today at the Schubert Theater. Don't miss it. It's a beautiful theater. It's going to be a great performance, a wonderful evening. I'm so happy you came back on the show. It's so good to talk to you. You're so sane in a world of insanity. Thank you so much for coming back on the show, Paula.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure.
Stay safe.
We'll be right back. Yes, you take care. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.